And those are the beautiful tones and chords of Adnan Jubran signaling the beginning of Gaza Corner. And I was thinking that it's so obvious and sickening how we are really in the age of disinformation and ignorance. It's a very dangerous time. Facebook and Twitter literally was responsible for electing Donald Trump, who led the climate change denier club. The anti-vax movement is spreading like a virus. And anti-Semitism has gotten so turned on its head that a new definition was weaponized to become a tool of censorship. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, known as IHRA, introduced this latest definition in 2016. The working definition states, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews, quote unquote. That's a good definition, I think, right there. But manipulation of the intended definition occurs when this IHRA definition adds examples of anti-Semitism. And these examples include Holocaust denial and many examples of anti-Israel criticism that it says in certain contexts can be defined as anti-Semitic, including comparing Israel's policies to those of Nazi Germany, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, and applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation, unquote. Of course, it assumes Israel is a democratic nation, which I would disagree with. Let's focus on that last line for a moment. There's an organization, Americans for Peace Now. It's a Zionist nonprofit. It wrote a letter why it would not sign on to the definition. Quote, most of the behaviors that Israel is criticized for are related to its occupation of the West Bank. Other democratic nations do not hold a disenfranchised civilian population under military occupation for 53 years. This was 2 years ago, this quote, so it's now 55 years. So other democratic nations do not hold a disenfranchised civilian population under military occupation with no horizon of freedom and independence while escalating the process of settlement construction in that occupied territory, branding criticism of Israeli actions associated with the occupation as anti-Semitism on the grounds that they apply a double standard is unacceptable, unquote. Americans for Peace Now, which is a Zionist nonprofit. Last week on Gaza Corner, I discussed the Amnesty International report, which is linked again at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist. You can check it out at tangents.com. You'll find the playlist, the Tangents playlist, in the left-hand column. Just click on it, and that will get you to the playlist. So I discussed the report last week, and it traces the roots of Israeli apartheid all the way back to 1948, the year Israel was created. The report stated, quote, since its establishment in 1948, Israel has pursued an explicit policy of establishing and maintaining a Jewish demographic hegemony and maximizing its control over land to benefit Jewish Israelis while minimizing the number of Palestinians and restricting their rights and obstructing their ability to challenge this dispossession, unquote. And then later in the conclusion section, the Amnesty International report states, quote, the state of Israel considers and treats Palestinians as an inferior non-Jewish racial group, unquote. These factual statements are dismissed by some people as anti-Semitic. Because one of the examples being weaponized under the IHRA definition is to, quote, deny the Jewish people their right to self-determination, unquote. So pointing out that Jews in Israel have exercised hegemony over non-Jews since its founding in 1948 is construed as anti-Semitic. Anti-Zionism is also targeted as anti-Semitic. I don't mean to bring up a bad memory, but I'm sure you remember Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times when Trump was still in office that stated that the IHRA definition, quote, makes clear that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, unquote, the words of Jared Kushner. Anti-Zionism is being twisted into threatening Israel's right to self-determination rather than its true meaning, which is rejecting an ethnic colonial state oppressing Palestinians intent on occupying all of historic Palestine. Marav Zanzine is an Israeli-American freelance journalist. She wrote an article that appeared in the Washington Post in 2019. She said, quote, anti-Semitism is Israel's get-out-of-jail card. Anti-Semitism serves to absolve Israel of the racism it structurally embodies, and that would be impossible to overlook were Israel deprived of the misdirection weaponized anti-Semitism provides. Unquote. What's really interesting is the architect of this newest definition of anti-Semitism, the IHRA working definition. Again, IHRA is International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. The architect is Kenneth Stern. He wrote an opinion piece back in December of 2019 in The Guardian UK. It is linked at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist at tangents.com. It's titled, I Drafted the Definition of Anti-Semitism. Right-wing Jews are weaponizing it. The working definition of anti-Semitism was never intended to silence speech, unquote. That's the guy who crafted the language to the definition, Kenneth Stern. Many nations have adopted the IHRA definition, including, no surprise, the United States, Canada, the UK, Germany, the European Parliament, and on and on. It's gotten to the point where any movement critical of Israel is automatically labeled anti-Semitic. Boycotting was noble when it was directed at South Africa. Noble when you talk about American history back in the late 1700s, but not so much when directed against apartheid in Israel. BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, is not only smeared as anti-Semitic, but also is criminalized. And then there is the abundance of ignorance. Here's just one example. There's a December 2019 survey. It was conducted by YouGov, YOUGOV.com. It asked, which behaviors do American people consider to be anti-Semitic? One caught my eye, especially. One in five Americans think it is anti-Semitic to, quote, oppose Israeli treatment of Palestinian people, unquote. 20% of Americans think it's anti-Semitic to oppose Israeli treatment of Palestinian people. And I wonder what percentage of that 20% is aware that Israel systemically oppresses Palestinians on a daily basis. My guess is hardly any, or they just don't care. former UK Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, is a lifelong anti-imperialist activist, lifelong advocate for Palestinian human rights. When he ran for prime minister in the UK in 2019, he got so smeared as an anti-Semite that he had no chance in the election. The media, the UK Jewish establishment, and especially his own party in the centrist and right-leaning factions torpedoed his election chances. In the UK, there's an organization that the British government recognizes as the organization that speaks on behalf of all Jews as if they have one voice. It's called the Board of Deputies of British Jews. Board of Deputies of British Jews. It's the official representative of the British Jewish community. Its mission and politics are very Zionist. It claims, again, to speak on behalf of all Jews in the UK and asserts the bogus notion that all Jews are Zionist or supportive of Israeli government policies. The guy that replaced Corbyn, the current Labour Party boss in England, is Keir Starmer. And he learned the lesson of the Corbyn debacle so well that he is punishing and expelling party members, especially Jews who are critical of Israel, from his own party. Josh Leffer, in a Jewish Currents article, really excellent job by Josh Leffer, very detailed and convincing. It's linked at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist at tangents.com. And he reports that as of January 2022, roughly 1,000 left-wing members of the Labour Party are thought to have been expelled. Starmer established a quote-unquote zero-tolerance policy under which any member, Jewish or not, who disputes, questions, or minimizes the extent of anti-Semitism in Labour's ranks risks potential disciplinary consequences. If you're a member of the British Labour Party and you post on social media, let's say you post allegations that anti-Semitism is being weaponized for political purposes, that tweet can get you expelled or sanctioned in the Labour Party. It's happened. And Leffer also reports in his article that in more than one case, the party cited criticism of the IHRA definition itself, just criticizing this revised definition of anti-Semitism, is a potential act of anti-Semitism. In the UK, it seems you cannot be both a Labour Party member and an open anti-Zionist. So I could not be in the Labour Party. Self-censorship is also occurring. And I'll use the BBC as an example. Last month, the BBC was scheduled to air a segment debating whether anti-Zionism should be a protected belief. It featured the Jewish Voice for Labor, JVL, Jewish Voice for Labor's Diana Neslin, who we will put the finishing touch on Gaza Corner in a moment with a quote from her. The BBC pulled the program before it could air because of pressure from the Board of Deputies President, who claims to speak for all British Jews, who called it a, quote, grotesque insult to the overwhelming majority of British Jews, unquote. Labour Party activist Mike Cushman, who is an officer in JVL, Jewish Voice for Labour, he's been under investigation and is trying to turn the tables on Labour leadership rules. He filed a counterclaim alleging that the accusations against him were themselves anti-Semitic, since they implied the stereotype that a Jew must support Israel. Getting dizzy. Now, Labour did its best to rid the aforementioned Diana Nestlin from the party. But good news, I consider it very good news, came last Monday, February 7th. It dropped its investigation into Nestlin, who is an 82-year-old Jewish woman, and she was being investigated for alleged anti-Semitism. Why? Well, it says that she tweeted in 2017 the following tweet. Quote, "The existence of the State of Israel is a racist endeavor, and I am an anti-racist Jew," unquote. That was going to get her kicked out of the party. But she threatened to sue the Labor Party for unlawfully discriminating against her based on her belief in anti-Zionism. She didn't get a response until the UK Guardian published details of the case, and all of a sudden, it was discontinued, the investigation. Quoting Diana Nestlin, "It's a big victory. I'm pleased that they dropped it because it exposes the fact that they shouldn't have done anything in the first place. But I also feel that I would have liked the issue of protected belief to have been addressed because I believe there are a lot of people who also, like me, are anti-Zionist, believe that it's a perfectly legitimate belief, and they have no recourse." I should mention Diana Nestlin goes to synagogue. She keeps a kosher home. She's completely immersed in Jewish values and Jewish rituals. But she just criticizes the Israeli government, so all of a sudden, the Labor Party considers her anti-Semitic. She went on to say, quote, "I want the conversation to continue." She says she was a committed Zionist before she visited Israel. "I want Jewish people to be able to be as free talking about anti-Zionism as they are about Zionism. You should not silence people who you disagree with. And although Zionism is for many Jews a sense of identity, it's not for all. And we all have a right to our views. To say that we are insulting Jews is wrong. We are acting in accord with what we regard as Jewish values and Jewish ethics. And I'm not going to change that," unquote. 82-year-old Diana Nestlin. She's a South African emigre, former anti-apartheid activist. There's a full article about this at the Gaza Corner section at the Tangents playlist.